Today's shir is Masechta Bava Kama, Daf Lamed Zayin. We will begin on Daf Lamed Zayin Amud Aleph at the Mishnah towards the top of the Amud. Says the Mishnah, Shor Shemud Laminai. If a shor has become a mood for animals the same type of it, that means an axe has become a mood to do damage to other axen. Shor Shemud Laminai. That means this animal has seen animals not its the same type of it, as it is, and was in the presence of those animals and did not attack them, or mu'ud l'adam, the animal is a mu'ud to attack people. V'ein mu'ud l'behema, but it's not a mu'ud to attack animals. Mu'ud l'ktanim. It's a mood to attack smaller animals. Vein a mood l'gdolim, but it's not a mood to attack larger animal. So says the Mishnah, Eshehu mood loy, for the animals that has become a mood, the halacha will be m'sham nazik sholim, as is the halacha that a mood pays. V'eshein a mood loy, and for animals for which it is not a mood, then the halacha will be m'sham chatzi nazik, like a tam. Amru l'fnei Rabbi Yehuda. The Talmidim said, or asked Rabbi Yehuda, Hare ze mu'ud l'shabosos. If the animal is a mu'ud to do damage, to attack on Shabbos, ve'ein a mu'ud l'chol, but it doesn't do damage during the week. It saw animals during the week and did not attack. Amlehem l'shabosos, as far as the Shabbos is concerned, it's considered a mu'ud, and they pay Nezek Sholem, Misham Nezek Sholem. The Moshe Chol is considered a Tam, Misham Chatzin Nezek. Says the Mishnah, Ve'ema Hu Tam, when does an animal which has been labeled a Mu'ud revert back to being a Tam? The Halacha is Mashiach Sebashol Shemei Shabbosos. If three Shabbosos have passed and it didn't do any attacking, it's a proof that it's reverted. So, the Rishonim debate, how does it happen that an animal is a mood for Shabbos and not for during the week? So Rashi explains that since the animal on Shabbos doesn't do work, so therefore when it's not doing work, its entire personality, so to speak, changes and can get wilder. Tosfos explains that, quoting Yerushalmi, that during the week and Shabbos, people are dressed differently. And Shabbos, the people who this mood is accustomed to know is not dressed like he's not during the week, doesn't recognize him, and therefore it'll be attack that individual who he doesn't recognize. Rabbeinu Peretz makes the what will be the nafka mina between Rashi and Tosfos. He says what will be the halacha regarding an animal that attacked people on Shabbosos. Will it be a mood only for people, or will it be a mood for everybody? So Rabbeinu Peretz says, according to Rashi, that says that what causes the animal to attack on Shabbos versus attacking during the week is that the fact that it's not working causes it to be wilder. So it doesn't make a difference. Once we see that it has this situation that it attacks on Shabbos, because it's wilder, so it's a mood for everything. The Yerushalmi, who says it depends on people's clothing, so then it'll only be people whom he doesn't recognize on Shabbos versus during the week. But it has nothing to do with animals. And if we didn't see him attack animals on Shabbos, he won't be a mood on Shabbos. Furthermore, the Nafkamin will be, what if he's a mood with Shabbos, will he be a mood for Yontif as well? So certainly, according to Rishami, that it depends on the way people dress. So on Yontif, people also don't dress like they dress during the week. And if he became a mood for Shabbos, he'll be a mood for Yontif as well. Whereas, according to Rashi, that connects it to the reason of working, so on Yontif, there are melachos that are mutter, and since the yontif, the weekday, there are the animal works on Yom Tov, so we won't treat it like Shabbos. Moreover, the discussion that the Gemara begins to have now, Mu'ud LaShabbos have a Mu'ud L'Yom, the Rishonim all point out that, well, there's 6 days in between. If the animal didn't do damage during those 6 days, isn't that a proof that it reverts back to being a tam? So what we see from here, and we'll discuss this more in the Gemara, there are patterns that develop in the animal's behavior. And based on those behavior patterns, we could determine an animal being moored at certain times. And even though the Shabbos, between one Shabbos and the next Shabbos, there's a whole week where the animal didn't do any damage, that doesn't prevent from creating a pattern. Actually, I saw that the Sfas Emes brings a raya from our Gemara, from the Tosfos, that quotes the Yerushalmi to a well-known halacha. The halacha is that when we have a Sheva Brachas and during the week after the wedding, if we want to be able to recite the Sheva Bracha, what we have to do is have Parim Chadoshes. However, the halacha says that on Shabbos, Sheva Brachas can be recited, certainly at the Friday night Suda and the Shabbos morning Suda, even without Parim Chadoshes. And the Sfas Emes says, what is the basis of that halacha? Says the Sfas Emes, the basis of that halacha is actually what we just learned now in our Gemara. Because our Mishnah, that Tosfos says that on Shabbos, people don't look like they look during the week. They wear different clothing. The animal doesn't recognize them. So every person himself is already on Shabbos upon him chedoshes. Since every person himself is on Shabbos upon him chedoshes, so therefore, it's not necessary to bring somebody who is upon him chedoshes to the Sheva Brachas. On Shabbos, we are all upon him chedoshes. Says the Gemara, Itmar, Rezvid Amar ve'enem u'tanan. The proper girsa in the Mishnah says Rezvid is to have the word ve'enem u'tanan. The Gemara is going to explain it in a minute. Repapa ma'enem u'tanan. The proper girsa is without the vav. And explains the Gemara what is the difference between these two versions. Rezvid Amar ve'enem u'tanan. And the way to learn is that ve'enem u'tanan, animal is a mood for the animal that it's attacked. And it's not a mood for anything else. That means that the Mishnah is saying that if the animal became a mood for one type of animal, and we saw that it didn't do damage, it didn't attack another type of animal, then we know it's not a mood for that other type of animal. Hastama, but if we don't know what it would be the animal's behavior towards a different type of animal that it never attacked, we have to assume it's a mood. That means once it's a mood for one type, it's automatically a mood for all other types, unless there's something compelling us to say that that should not be the case. Rapapa ma'enet mood tanan. He says, the stam lo have a mood. If we saw that an animal became a mood for one type, then the halacha is that the animal is not a mood for another type unless we're able to know conclusively somehow or another why it should be a mood for that other type. Says the Gemara, and each one of these Amoraim based their opinion on words on the Mishnah. Rav Zvid Daik Misefer, Rav Zvid bases his opinion from the halacha, the sefer, the Mishnah, and Rapapa Daik Mereisha. Rapapa proves his point from the beginning of the Mishnah, and the Mara explains. Rav Zvid Daik Masefer Diktani Mu'ud L'Ktanim Ve'en Mu'ud L'Gdonilim. If an animal is a mood to attack smaller animals, an animal is not a mood for a bigger animal. Yeah, Bishlam. If we're going to say Ve'en Mu'ud K'tani, and the Mishnah is coming to teach us that only because that we know that it didn't attack these other types of animal, that's why it's not a mood. Hastame, we don't have that conclusive proof, have a mood. If it's a mood for one type of animal, it's going to be a mood for all types of animal. Kamashmon, so the Mishnah is teaching us a very big chiddush, that filu miktanam l'gdoilim, even though this animal became a mood by attacking smaller animals, mistama, so we would maybe say that for bigger animals, which is not so simple for it to attack, it should not be a mood. Says the Mishnah, no, that once it's a mood for one type, it's going to be a mood for every type. Mistama have a mood. Eli amrit, but if we're going to say ena mood tani, and what the Mishnah is saying is that if it's a mood for one type, until it's proven to be a mood for another type, stama, lo have a mood. So says the Gemara, hashta yeshloima, miktanam l'gdalim the alma, from one type of animal to another type of animal, which are similar in size, still the Mishnah is stama lo have a mood. If it became mood for one type, it does not automatically become a mood for another type. So then, says the Gemara, why would the Mishnah have to tell us that from one type to another type, it doesn't become a mood? Then certainly, miktanim l'gdoilim tzrich l'meim to have a mood when the animals are so very different. So it must be that the Mishnah is teaching us that animals are automatically a mood from one type to another. And the Mishnah is teaching us how far-reaching is this halacha, that even though the two types of animal are so very different, one animal, the animal that it became a mood towards is an animal that's small. And I would think that since it's an animal that's small, that doesn't make it a mood for large animal. Still, the halacha is teaching us that it does become a mood for all types of animal. And we could therefore understand very well what the Mishnah is coming to teach us. How does Rapapa, who says that just because an animal is a mood for one type, it doesn't become a mood for another type, how will he explain the Mishnah? Itzrich. The Mishnah had to teach us this. Sakadatach Amina. We would think, holo poritz bei umina. If there's one type of animal, so we would think poritz bei. It's completely more in that type. And therefore, we shouldn't differentiate. Kamash Mon, the Mishnah is teaching us to have a mood. It doesn't become a mood for a larger type automatically. Rabbi Daik Marisha, or a puppet that says you don't become a mood, brings his right from the Risha. It said in the beginning of Mishnah, mood al adam ain't a mood lebehema. V'yamrit b'shloma ain't a mood tanan. If the Mishnah is teaching us to teach that if an animal is a mood for one type, stama, if it's not proven for another type, lo have a mood. The Mishnah is coming to teach us that a very bechidish, ha kamashmalan, that filum adam lebehema. It's much more difficult to attack a human being than to attack an animal. And the Rishonim give a number of explanations. One explanation is because a person has the intelligence to watch himself and from getting attacked. Another animal doesn't necessarily have that level of intelligence. Secondly, we spoke about this previously in our Masechta, people, yesh mazel. And one of the explanations we gave in people having mazel is that people have malachim, each one of us, have a malach that protects us. Ki malachim yitzavaloch, l'shmocha b'chol d'ruchecha. The malachim protect us. So a person who has a malach that protects us. So we would think if this animal, so it's much more difficult to attack a person. The Mishnah's come to teach us that even though the animals are mood for people, it doesn't automatically make them a mood for animals. The filum odem l'behemen namistam alav amud. Ela e'amrit, ein amud, k'tani. The Mishnah is teaching us, because we know for sure, we've been proven that it hasn't attacked. Hastama, if not, that once it became a mood for one, it's a mood for everything else. So says the Gemara, why would the Mishnah, according to Razvid, need to tell us this halacha? Hashtu yishlem behemel mehema. From one type of animal to another animal. Stama have a mood, unless according to Razvid, we have proof otherwise, the animal automatically becomes a mu'ud. If the animal became a mu'ud for a person, which we just finished explaining, is so much more difficult to become a mu'ud, and still became a mu'ud for a person, obviously it's a mu'ud for animals. Razvid Amalach, Reisha Chazarka. The Mishnah is not talking The Mishnah is not coming to teach us about how the animal became a mu'ud. If the animal became a mu'ud for people, says Razvid, that animal will be a mu'ud for animals certainly. But what happened is like this. Kigoyin da hava, we had an animal, which was a mu'ud l'odim, a mu'ud l'behema. It became a mu'ud to do damage to people and animals. And then we see it's no longer a mu'ud for behema. How do we know that? The koi gab behema t'losu zemni. It was in the vicinity of an animal three times, and it remained calm. Madatema. So we'd say, we don't have that any proof that it changed regarding a person. And the way I saw the Yamsha Shlem explain, not only don't we have any proof that it changed from a person, we know that it actually has not changed as far as people is concerned. When it did come in contact with people, it did do damage. So we would say that the chazor de behema lav chazorihi, this that we see, it's not doing damage to animals, should be meaningless to us, because we see that it's still doing damage the way Yamsha Shlem teaches us with people. And as we keep on learning, it's harder, it's easier to be a mu'ud for a behema than for an adam. Kamash Malon teaches us the Mishnah, if we see definitively that this animal had the opportunity to attack animals and didn't use that opportunity, the chazor, the behema, mi chazori. As far as animals are concerned, it's no longer a mu'ud, even though it will remain a mu'ud for people. Meisvei, ask the Gemara on the opinion of Rizvid. The Brisa says, Sumchas Omer, mu'ud la'adam, mu'ud la'behema. An animal which is a mu'ud for people is a mu'ud for behema, b'kav chayma. Ma'al la'adam, if for a person, as we've just been learning throughout our shir, where it's more difficult to become a mu'ud towards a person, because the person has the mazel, it's a mu'ud, la'behema, like Hoshkein, certainly that will be the halacha, that if it's a mu'ud la'adam, it's going to be a mu'ud la'behema. Michlal, the Tanakama, who disagrees with Sumchas, and obviously holds that mu'ud la'behema, la'adam, ain't a mu'ud la'behema. And the way to learn the Mishnah is the way Rav Papa learned, ain't a mu'ud kamer. Just because the animal is a mu'ud for behema, it doesn't make it a mu'ud la'adam, or vice versa. Amach Rizvid, says Rizvid, no. The way to learn the Mishnah is the ain't a mu'ud. And Sumchas and Rabbanan both agree that once an animal is a mu'ud for one type, unless we have definitive proof that's not a mu'ud for another type, it will be a mu'ud for all other types. Where does Sumchas and the Rabbanan disagree? Sumchas HaChazorikai. The disagreement of Sumchas and the Tanakama is regarding how it loses its status. V'chamalei Tanakama. The Ka'amrit, Chazor de Behema, Chazorihi, that you said, as we just finished learning, that if we saw that the animal didn't attack animals, that's a proof that it's no longer a mu'ud for animals. But it will still be for a mu'ud for people, says Sumchas, I disagree. And I hold, if it's still attacking people, even though it hasn't been attacking animals, the fact that it's not attacking animals is insufficient. Because if it hasn't reversed itself on people, which we keep on explaining in our shir, it's much easier for an animal not to attack people. So if mami adam laim kama hadabe, if we see it didn't reverse itself from people, the behema lekoshkein, it's certainly still a mood for behema. Amar Rashi. So now the Gemara brings a raya to Rav Zvi's opinion that once a mood is an animal's a mood for one type, it's a mood for all types. Amar lefnei Yehuda, hareza mood l'shabosos v'ein mood l'chol. We spoke about in the Mishnah that an animal could be a mood for Shabbos, and I'm not a mood for the weekday. Amlehem, so he said, Mishabas Misham Nezek Sholem. That means that if it would do damage on Shabbos, it has the loch of a mood and pays Nezek Sholem. Limaisachol, if it did damage during the week, it would pay Chatzi Nezek. So says the Gemara, Yam Bishlom of the Ein Mood Ketani. If we're going to say that unless we know for sure it's a mood for everything, now we can understand the dialogue of our Mishnah. Shule ka mishailei. The Talmidim were asking Rabbi Yehuda, what's going to be the halacha of an animal is a muad for Shabbos, while will be, but not for the weekday. And he answers here that he's a muad for Shabbos. Eli Amrit, and a muad ketani. And what's Rabbi Yehuda telling us? That if you're a muad for one thing, that doesn't make you a muad for another thing. And Rabbi Yehuda was giving them an example that just like if you're a muad for one type of an animal, that doesn't automatically make you a muad for another type of an animal. And just because you're a muad for Shabbos, it doesn't make you a muad for the weekdays. So he was teaching them this halacha. So if that's what he was teaching them, what's the question? He was telling them that you could be a muad for one type and not for the other type. And if that's the case, why do you have to repeat? Why was it needed to be repeated? It must be because it's the Mishnah's following the opinion of Rav Zvid. Says the Gemara, another right to Rav Zvid's opinion. The opinion of Rav Zvid that once it's a mood for one type, unless we could prove otherwise, it's a mood for everything else, could be proven from the beginning of the Mishnah. The Ketani, as Shemud Lai Mishal Nazik Shalim, for what it's a mood, it pays Nazik Shalim, and a mood Lai, for which it's not a mood, you pay the Chatzin Nazik. Yam Bishlami, and a mood Ketani. So the Mishnah Purush Kama Farish, that if it's for the type that it's not a mood, you won't have to pay Nazik Shalim. Eliam, and a mood Pascha, that's just a mood for what it is. So why was it needed to be su a shemud l'mishalim nezek shalom, a shemud l'mezek shalom? Why do you have to repeat this? Ad hashta l'sheminin, ham we learn numerous times in this mesechta, tam, mishalim chati nezek, or mud mishalim nezek shalom. Vim tim tzolayim nami isa l'rapapa, even if rapapa is correct, and rapapa is teaching us that if an animal is a mood for one type, it does automatically become a mood for anything else, says the Gemara, even Rav Papa will agree. Nagach shar chamav gamal. If this animal did attack three different types of animals, each one, explained the Rishonim, only one time, but it was three different types of animals, everybody agrees that such an animal nasamud lakol. Our Gemara has been teaching us the reasons that we gave when we learned the Mishnah, the difference between Shabbosis and Yom Tovim. So, as we explained, that the halacha is that Rashi says Shabbos is different because Shabbos, the animals don't work. Yerushalmi says Shabbos is different because we're wearing different clothing. The question that the Paiskin discuss is if somebody daven Shemoneh Esrei on Shabbos and he doesn't remember if he said a weekday Shemoneh Esrei, which would require him to repeat the Shemoneh Esrei, or he said a Shabbos Shemoneh Esrei. There are those that want to suggest if he was wearing Shabbos clothing, that serves as a reminder. That serves as a reminder that he must have been wearing. They must have said the Shabbos davening because the clothing that he wears serves as a reminder. There's actually a very interesting story. There was a woman that came to the ragged shover and said, I have a problem. My child refuses to eat on Shabbos. My baby refuses to eat on Shabbos. And the ragged shover said, of course, it's a Yerushalmi. It's our Yerushalmi. Since you're not dressed on Shabbos like you're dressed during the weekday, your child doesn't recognize you. And that's why as soon as you'll put on your weekday clothing, you'll see that your child will not have any problem to be fed from you. Tarabaram. Rosh shor nogach. Shavloi nogach. What would be the halacha if an animal saw another animal, attacked it, then it saw another animal, v'loi nogach, saw another animal, another axe, v'loi nogach, it didn't attack it, Shav nagach. So there's a pattern that's been formed here. And nasa mula sarugim. The animal has become a new mula sarugim and lishvarim. And the Pashat, the way to learn this Gemara, according to most Rishonim, is that it's following the halacha like Rapapa, that an animal is a mu'ud only for the animal, for the animals that it has attacked, and this animal has only attacked Shirim. However, the Taisa says that we're not locked in to say that this Brisa must be following the opinion Rapapa, because we could explain this Brisa even according to Reb Zvid. And the way we'll explain the Brisa according to Reb Zvid is that this animal saw a shor, attacked it, saw other animals, and never attacked them at all. And then, as far as the shor is concerned, it developed a pattern of back and forth. So therefore, according to Reb Zvid, even Reb Zvid will agree when it saw these other animals and never attacked them, Reb Zvid will agree that the animal is not a mood for those other types. But as far as the shor is concerned, it developed this pattern, and it's a moodless serugin. Says the Braisa, Tana Rabbanim, Rosh Rav Nogach, V'loi Kamar V'loi Nogach, Sus V'Nogach, Gamal V'loi Nogach, Pirate, Mule V'Nogach, Aroid, Wild Donkey V'loi Nogach, Nas a moodless serugin l'kol. Now it's going to be a moodless serugin, but for all types of animals. Asking my Bailu, Nogach shor v'shor v'shor chamor v'gamol ma'u. And the question is, how do we look at this situation? Do we say, hai shor basra, the third shor that it did attack, basra shvarim shadin Allah, we say that it's connected to the first two shorim, and therefore, this animal, akati v'shvarim hudayad, it's only a mu'ud for shorim, three shors. But other animals we never have that attack three other animals, and therefore lamidach rin loyad. And here, simply, we're going to have to say that we're following the opinion of Rapapa. And if it's a mood for one, it's not a mood for another. Or, Adilma, the way to look at this pattern, Hai Shor Basra, the third time it attacked the Shor, Basra Chamor V'Gamol Shadin Alei. We connect it to the Chamor V'Gamol that it attacked afterwards. And now it attacked three different types of animals. And as the Gemara taught us on Amud Aleph, even Rapapa agrees that an animal that attacked three different types of animals, even though it attacked each one of those animals only one, a yad lel kulamune, it becomes a full-fledged mu'ud. And now continues the Gemara. What would happen? Chamor v'gomol. It attacked the chamor v'gomol, shor, shor, v'shor, ma'u. And the way to understand the Gemara's question, explain the Rishonim, is within Tim Tzoloimer. Even if in the first question, we're going to say that when attacked the Shor the third time, we connect it to the first two Shors and not to the Chamor and Gomel afterwards, because it already became accustomed to Shor. And since it already became accustomed to Shor, that's why I say that this third attack is just a continuation of what it has always been doing. But here, we already has a pattern of doing damage to other types of animals. So now we certainly say that this shor should be connected to the first two animals, and therefore, v'yayad lel kulamine, it's a full-fledged mu'ud for all types of animals, according to everybody. We'll take this third attack, and we'll connect it to the following two attack, v'kati, and then the halacha will be shvarim hudayad l'minachrin Allah. Similarly, Shabbos for Shabbos, it did attack three Shabbosos, and then it attacked Echad b'Shabbos v'Sheni b'Shabbos Sunday and Monday. How do we look at it? Hush Shabbos b'Sreis b'Bos Shabbos u'D'Shlim Lei. Do we take the third Shabbos attack as a continuation of the first two, and that's a proof that this is an animal that attacks on Shabbos? B'Tach b'Kati, and therefore all we'll be able to say is l'Shabbos t'Yad. This animal is a mood on Shabbos. However, l'Moisachol l'Yad. It didn't become a mood for weekdays. I don't know, maybe the way to look at this sequence is Bosa Echad v'Shem v'Shabbos Shadin Allah. We take the Shabbos and we connect it to the Sunday and Monday to follow it. And now, it's a Yad l'Kul Yom. It's a mood for all days of the week. Vice an Intim Tzolayma, says the Gemara, Chamish v'Shabbos v'Erev v'Shabbos v'Shabbos. Shabbos v'Shabbos Mahu. It attacked Thursday, Friday, Shabbos, and then the next two Shabbosos. Do we say, Ha Shabbos Kamaisa Bos Chamish v'Shabbos v'Erev v'Shabbos Shadin Alei? We connect the Shabbos to Thursday and Friday, and therefore, Vayad L'Kul Yoma, this is an animal that's a mood for all days of the week. Oidoma, do we take the third Shabbos and connect it, Har Shabbos K'maisa, Bosses Shabbosos, Hudu Shadin Alay. We say that the third Shabbos is connected to the previous two Shabbosos, L'Shabbosos Hudayod, and therefore it's only to the following two Shabbosos, and it's a mood for Shabbos, not for the weekday. Another case. Nogach Shor Yom Chamishi Asa B'Chaydezeh, the 15th of the first month, Yishisha Asa B'Chaydezeh, the 16th on the next month, Shiva Asa B'Chaydezeh, and the 17th in the next month. Suggest the Gemara, pluk the Rav and Shmuel, that this is connected to Machloikis of Rav and Shmuel. The Aloch is, if a woman has a Ria, bleeds, dam, and we don't know exactly when she started bleeding, we have to assume, without any definitive knowledge, that the dam might have been here up to for the 24 hours before. Gemara that we're going to learn in Masechta Nida. But if a woman has a veset means that she has a specific time that her period comes, so then we could assume that that's when she began bleeding. And the Gemara Masechta Nida, we're going to spend many dafim discussing how is a veset established. So the Gemara says, a woman saw dam, Yom Chamisha Asa, Yom B'Chaydezeh, the 15th of one month, Yom Shisha Asa B'Chaydezeh, the 16th of the next month, Yom Shiva Asa B'Chaydezeh, the 17th of the third month, Rav HaMakavah Lavest, now we could see that she was Kaveya Avest. Shmuel with these three rias. Shmuel Amr, it's not enough. Atashalish Bilog. You have to have intervals. To have three intervals, you have to have four rias. So the way we should explain the Gemara. If the veset is being established for a certain day, that means for three consecutive months, she saw every month on the 15th of the month, even Shmuel would agree that she has a veset after three times on the 15th of the month. Here, the veset is being established because of unequal days, 15, 16, 17. And therefore, the halach is that you have to have four riyas to have three intervals. And the Gemara is saying that this question is the same type of question, the way we're paskin, the machlokes Rav and Shmuel, by the Hilchos Nida will have direct bearing on how the paskin, on how the animal becomes a muad. However, the paskim make a very interesting observation here. Throughout Shas, we have a rule. Hilchos Karabi Surim, when there's a question of Issa V'Heter, we paskin like Rav. When we have a question of Dina Mamanis, we paskin like Shmuel. In our Gemara, the question that we're discussing has relevance for Hilchos Nida, which is Issa V'Heter, and it has relevance for Hilchos Dina Mamanis, for sure Amu'ud. So what should we do? So some suggest that we follow where the Machlokes was primarily stated. And since, as the Gemara just taught us, the Halacha is primarily a question that comes up by Hilchos Nida, we just adapted the Halacha from Hilchos Nida and adapted it to Hilchos Mazikin, so therefore the Halacha will be that we follow the opinion of Rav here. Others say, a very interesting approach, that even though paskin like Rav and by Hilchos Nida and paskin like Shmuel by Dinei Mamnis seems to be contradictory, once there's a rule in Shas that Hilchos Karabi Surin, Hilchos Shmuel by Mamnis, even though the two Machloikas, and as the Gemara just said, are very much connected, that doesn't make a difference. Here we'll paskin, and Dinei Nida will paskin like Rav, and Dinei Mamnis will paskin like Shmuel. Amarava, Shamakal Shofar v'Nogach. The animal heard a shofar and it attacked. Kal Shofar v'Nogach, Kal Shofar v'Nogach. This happened three times. Certainly, Nasamul Shofar. This animal a zamud that when a shofar blows, it's a mood. Ask the mapshita, isn't that obvious? Answers the Gemara. Ma de tema, hach shofar kama. The first time I heard a shofar blew and caught and it did attack, maybe siyuta ba'amud inakte. It just represented that it got confused because of that sound, kamash malon, that we don't take that approach, and the halacha is that it's not, it's considered the first time it did attack is counted towards the number three. Says the Mishnah, shor she yisrael shenagach shor shel hegdish. A shor belonging to a private individual did damage to hegdish, or vice versa, shel hegdish shenagach l'shor shel hegdish potter. Shenamer, because the Torah Kedosha says, when it introduces the parasha of damaging, the chiyug of shor ish shor re'eu, so we learn from here, re'eu v'lo ish shor shel hegdish, that these halachas only apply by people, and only apply by animals owned by people, not by animals that belong to Hegdish. So here we're talking about Shor Shonagach. But as we began the Masechta, there are many other Arb Nezikim. We began the Masechta, Arb Avos Nezikim, and then we learned in the Gemara, there are many more. What would be that Locha by the other Mezikim and Hegdish? Tosfos's opinion is that by all Nezikim, there is no Chiv by Hegdish. And Tosfos says, even Adam Hamazik is only Midrabanan if it does damage to Hegdish. The Meiri says, all damages are potter by Hegdish, but Adam Hamazik is Chayiv Midraisa. And the Ravid's opinion is, the most strict opinion, the Ravid's opinion is that all Mazikim apply by Hegdish as well. The only case that doesn't apply by Hegdish is at what the Pasuk speaks about is Keren. There's an interesting Shaila in the Achroinim. When we say that there's no payment, there's no Mazikim by Hegdish, what does that mean? Does it mean that that the act of Hezek doesn't exist by Hegdish? Or is this a Kalocha Tashlumim? Of course, it's a mazik, but the issue is that the Torah exempts payment to Hegdish. What will be the nafkamina? The nafkamina will be if it caused damage to Hegdish and to a Hegit. If we're going to say that's a did in Teshlumim, so the Teshlumim to Hegdish you'll be exempt from, but the Teshlumim to the Hegit, you'll be chayif. But if we learn that when Hegdish is involved, it's not considered an act of Hezek, then there was no damage done here. There was no accident. Reb Reuven takes the opinion that it's a din in Hegdish, that there's no such thing as Hezek when Hegdish is involved. Reb Ariel Malin disagrees, and his opinion is that it's a din in Tashlumim, that the Torah exempted us from paying Tashlumim to Hegdish. But it doesn't mean, says Rabbi Arileib, that there's no such a thing as damage to Hegdish. The Meiri asks the question, why do we have to learn that if the Hegdish did damage, they don't have to pay? What would Hegdish pay with? The halacha is Hegdish would pay with Hegdish money, and we're not allowed to have benefit from Hegdish money. So the Meiri answers that if Hegdish has a debt, using the money that Hegdish pays to pay off its obligation is not considered mila by Hegdish. If Hegdish has to pay for supplies, if Hegdish had to pay for workers, is there a question of mila? Of course there isn't any mila by Hegdish on any debt that Hegdish has to pay. It says the Mishnah, Shor shel Yisrael shenagach l'shor shel Knani, the halacha is potter. Shor shel Knani, however, v'shel Knani shenagach l'shor shel Yisrael, their aloch is bein tam bein muad. The aloch is mishalim nezek shalim. So the question is, what Shmuel Rozovsky asks? The aloch is the chatzi nezek is knas. That's how we learned early in our masechta. So why, if the shor tam does damage to shor shi yisrael, the shor tam of an akum damages a shor shi yisrael, the should I pay nezik? The halach is that the halach of chatzi nezik is only a knas. So Rav Shimon Shkop answers that the reason that, and it'll become clearer as we learn the Gemara Mitzvashem, the reason when a shor shel nokri does damage to shor Yisrael, it has to pay for the damages, is within a different concept altogether. The reason is because there's a din of hefker bezdin hefker, and in a place where bezdin has the ultimate control, that's what they have to pay. Says about masnisin like Rav Shimon Menashe. Says our Mishnah that says that a shor shel Yisrael shenogach shor shel hekdesh is exempt is not consistent, says the Gemara, with the opinion of Rav Shimon ben Menashe. The Tanya shor shel hekdesh shenogach shor shel hekdesh, shel hekdesh shenogach shor shel hekdesh potter, shenemar v'loy sharei v'loy shor shel hekdesh, as we just learned in our Mishnah. However, Rav Shimon ben Menashe emar shor shel hekdesh shenogach shor shel hekdesh potter. Of a shor shel hekdesh attacked the shor shel hekdesh, indeed that loch is potter. However, shel hegid, shenagach, shor shel hegdish, not only will you have to pay, but paying tam and paying muad will have to pay nezik sholim. Says the Gemara, Amri mai katsav Rav Shimon. How do we understand the opinion of Rav Shimon? Ire eyu davka, if he follows the wording of the Torah that we learned in the Mishnah, of kigach shor ish ashor eyu, then the loch ire eyu davka, then the loch should be shor afilo shel hegid, shenagach shel hegdish, lifter. V'ir e'u lav dafka, and the word is not to be taken that literally, afilu the hegdish, nami kinogach the hegdit l'chayiv. Answers the Gemara, v'chitei milon kusover e'u dafka. U'me'u, and therefore, it should always be exempt. However, in the hegdit kinogach the hegdish, if a shosh Yisrael does damage to a shosh l'hegdish, hanatam the m'chayiv, what's the reason y'chayiv? V'shun the kamaisim kavachoyim, we learn a kavachoyim. Or my hedjit shenagach shel hedjit. If a hedjit does damage to a hedjit, that loch is yechayiv. Ki nogach the hegdish loy koshke and the mechayiv. But ask the Gemara. So we're learning that loch of hedjit doing damage to hegdish from hedjit doing damage to hedjit. We're learning with a kavachaymer, and we know, as we've discussed in our masechta more than once, dialover he is medin lias kaniden. If we're learning a Talmud from a Rebbe, then the halacha should be that only then the halacha that applies by the Rebbe, which in this case is the Hegit, should apply by the Talmud by Hegdish. And Malah on Talmud Chatzi Nezek, Hachinami Chatzi Nezek. So I saw the Rishonim ask a question that if this is the case, then why, how can we base this Kavachaymer? Isn't there a limit of Ein Unshim and Adin that we can't establish halachas based on a kavachaymer? So the Rishonim say a very important rule. When do we say ein anshim and adin? The rule of ein anshim and adin is said when we want to establish a punishment of misa of malchus. But when it comes to a punishment of mammon, a financial payment, like we're learning in our Gemara, there the halacha is that we do anshim and adin. And what's the explanation? Because if we're going to establish halacha through a kavachomer, and then afterwards that kavachomer is refuted, we can't undo the punishment we already gave. So therefore, for example, if we're going to give somebody malchus, or even more so, we're going to give somebody misa based on a kavachomer, and then the kavachomer is refuted, we can't undo the malchus or the misa that we gave. However, if it's mammon, so we're going to make somebody pay based on a kavachomer, the example of our Gemara. And then it's going to turn out that the kavachomer is refuted. So you just give back the money. And therefore, by mammon, there is no rule of ein anshim and adin. El amar Resh Lakish. So if that's the case, why is the halacha that shor shel hegdish, shenagach shor shel hegdish pays? And not only does it pay, but it always pays nezek sholim, says the Gemara. The Torah says, the Torah, really, when somebody does damage, she's paying nezek sholim. What the Torah means to say is, rehu, when the shor of one individual, of people, of regular people, do damage one to the other, that's where the halacha is tam shalom chatzi nezek. Bechlal, the Hegdish, but if it does damage the Hegdish, the special rule that we learn that you only pay Chatzi Nezek is only when it does damage to Re'eyu. But when it does damage the Hegdish, Bein Tam Bein Mu'ud, the Halacha will be Mezek Sholem. Dim came, because if you're not going to say that way, the Torah should have said the Halacha that a Shor Shel Hegdish does damage to Shor Shel Hegdish Potter, Nichtalai Kroga Bein Mu'ud. Why did the Torah choose to teach it to us by Tam? To teach us that the rule of Chatzi Nezek doesn't apply when Hegdish is the victim. But it doesn't mean to teach us that Hegdish, you don't pay for damaging Hegdish. Tanakama disagrees. He says, if that's the case, why did the Torah choose to teach us this halacha by Tam, not by Mu'ud? Says, because that's the first animal that's spoken about, the first animal that does damage that's spoken about in the Torah is a Tam. So as soon as the Torah tells us this dinim, the halachas of animals do damage, says the Sefer Torah Schayim, right away the Torah wanted to tell us, this is only by Hegdish, none of these rules apply.